else? What's up?
Hey,
all right, Rob,
it's Rob.
Team.
Okay, welcome. Welcome. How is everyone? And
good.
What's on your mind?
You
good, I'm doing great, thanks.
Oh, we were just sort of chit-chatting about folders before we got on the call. You know, what's funny is Tom and I both have been, you know, for a long time in our career, a couple of our mentors use those folders for clients. So we had both kind of adapted to that a long time ago. Not so much with the client side, so that's sort of the piece we were just kind of talking through. And we have to, with some of Rob's clients, we have to build folders for. But we feel we're in a pretty good place with that in that respect. And then we put it together that both the guys that kind of taught us that or did that were Merrill guys. So it kind of makes sense.
Oh, that's funny. It's been a long time. So there's possibility of all kinds of history there. That's
mm-hmm.
That's very interesting. No, that's great. Anyway, questions about the folder. What do you think? Does it make sense? Do you know what each page is for and the value of it and so forth?
Yeah, I think so. And then, too, we're sort of talking about that from, like, the client perspective side. We had been doing what we called family record organizers for top clients anyhow.
Yep.
Kind of like, you know, sort of brings that full circle with all our clients and making sure it kind of replicates what they have, gives them something a little more onus versus just our, you know, best clients, you know, all of our quote-unquote best clients that we're keeping. You know, so I think we're kind of, it's kind of interesting that we're kind of like sort of quasi there, and we just sort of reinforced why we started doing that in the first place.
That's great. That's great. There's a page on there for introductions given and received. I used to kind of put that in there. Just it had its benefits, but what we've discovered is if used properly, it can be a great tool for you. First of all, nobody remembers how they got to, you know, some people do. A lot of people forget. How did we actually meet, you know? And who introduced us and so forth? So it's a great way for them and for you to remember who they've introduced and when they did it. So you want to put down the date that, the people that were referred to you and then the date that they opened up the relationship. It's not a bad idea to put down all the people that are referred to you, and if they don't have a date next to them, they haven't been open, you might, you know, gives you an opportunity to go back and kind of wonder what happened. Anyway, the most important thing is to recognize the people that referred you to clients that become good clients. So you want to, if you choose, but people are always asking me, how do I get introductions without asking for them? Well, this is one of those ways, because you create the opportunity for somebody to repeat a behavior that was in their best interest that worked out. So they made three people happy. They made you happy. They made their friend happy. And by making you guys happy, they made themselves happy. So when you thank them for that introduction on the anniversary of when they opened the account, you remind people that this introduction made three people happy. So you thank them and say, thank you. You know, I appreciate it. The relationship has developed into something really important to me. And I just want to thank you for the introduction and let you know that things are going well as far as I'm concerned. And they'll be like, oh, that's great to hear. That's terrific. Thank you. Oh, by the way, I've got another guy for you. So it won't happen all the time, but what if it happens once in 10 times that you thank somebody? It's still worth it. Because that could be, you know, could be $50,000. So you're, you know, that doesn't just happen once, but happens for years. So that could be a $500,000 over 10 years, a $500,000 investment that you're making. So I think it works. There's no way you can lose. It just takes a little bit of time to call them. You can call both. The client that, you know, on their anniversary when they opened the account and thank them for the confidence in you. But I highly recommend you calling the person that referred them if you can only make one phone call. Okay. Questions on that? That piece of the folder?
Nope.
Anybody doing that?
Calling or doing what?
Thanking people for introductions?
We normally give a gift out. You know, our senior partner, Rob, used to like to wait to the end of the year and then send gifts out to everybody that got new money and whatever, you know, send a thank you out or whatever. I think Mike and I have always been to the, you know, do it quicker. So, hey, someone makes an introduction, it's a good introduction, do a thank you or, you know, write a handwritten note or send them something in a little bit quicker follow-up, you know, to reinforce that behavior. But, you know, we're getting crossed over on that. But, yeah, I think we've always done that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really smart. The thing that you've got to remember is that you didn't get an introduction once for a car, sold the car, and that was it. You're getting revenues every year, right?
Right.
So as long as that guy's a client, why not call him and thank him every year as long as you're getting paid? When you think about it, right? Pretty good deal.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Yeah, so if you're not getting paid, don't thank him. But as long as you're continue to be paid, might as well thank him because you want that to continue as well as you want to encourage that behavior again. So, and it doesn't take anything more.
The anniversary of when the account's open. Tommy and I, you know, we playing in traffic, you know, what's your thoughts on, and we've had a conversation about this, you get a referral that's not, doesn't fit your practice. Obviously we've done some things to kind of coach that, you know, that referral out or away or, you know, Irish diplomacy, so to speak. What would be your view on how you thank the person that referred that person to you without, you know, saying, yeah, that's not kind of the client we're looking for.
Here's the part that you really, what you're always doing with your clients is you got teaching moments and you're training them, right? Just think of them as your sales force. They like you and they want to help you. That's assuming it's a good relationship, right? You want to help them, they want to help you. So helping you accurately is in their best interest as well as your best interest. So you thank them, but tell them exactly what it is that you want. Okay?
Right.
So that's part of why we have our absolute minimum and our target minimum. So we don't recommend that you use your absolute minimum, but use your target minimum. So you say to them, hey, I really appreciate the introduction. I always will find a home for whoever it is that you send to us. Our team focuses on clients with more complicated situations that typically have a minimum of around $2.5 million.
Right.
And he goes, oh, okay, I get it, thanks. All right? You see how you do that without being offensive?
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So, you know, you're a connector, you're a helper. So all you're doing is connecting somebody that they have to somebody that you have. You're still making two people happy or three people happy. You're making the guy that referred you, you're making the guy that is being referred, and you're making the other FA happy. So anytime you're making three people happy, it's a good thing.
Yep.
So you just have to have a good stable of FAs. We call that stair step to the stars. So you may be on the top rung with the highest minimum, but there may be guys below you with different minimums, but are delivering and eventually delivering supernova service. So that when you have to reassign somebody that you've already given supernova service to, their level of service doesn't change.
Right.
So that would be the plan going forward. So part of your plan this year should be to develop that network, internal network.
Really,
all you're looking for is somebody that's going to give them terrific service, be loyal to you. You don't even have to split the business. You just give them the business and say, thank you for doing a good job. You're part of our network. And they'll be like over the moon about you guys. And then if they get a complicated situation that they don't think they can handle, they'll come to you because you've taken care of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, you guys can create that collaborative atmosphere, which is so important in any office, you know, where people are trusting each other and like each other and take care of each other versus, you know, one that's really very aggressive and negative.
Right.
Okay. So that's one thing in the folder that's important to understand. Did you get the enthusiastically endorsed list model? You like that?
Was that in the book, or was that something that was sent to us?
No, you should. It's part of the part of what we. It's in the folder. Right, you got the enclosures in the folder, right? The PDF. Hopefully. And in there's a list. Yeah, in there's something called the enthusiastically endorsed list. And right off the top of my head, I can't tell you exactly what chapter we covered in, but here it is. Okay, it's on my page 66. It's chapter 7.
We're not that far.
Yeah, we're not that far.
We're still on chapter 5, so we don't have to cover
it. Ahead like that.
Oh, I see. There, yep.
Yeah. I'm jumping ahead, but it's in the folder, and you might be curious as to why it's in there and all that. If you are, I can go through it briefly, but we'll cover it later. This week we cover centers of influence is one of the more important. We've been talking about centers of influence since the beginning, but I kind of give you this strategy for how to develop them. Questions on that, or how are you guys, how do you work with, you have centers of influence that you work with that you like? And
yeah, we have some centers of influence we work with, and we found the spreadsheet for the enthusiastically endorsed model, and you did talk about that in the video. I just didn't remember seeing a spreadsheet on that, but yeah, we have... some good COIs that we work with that we like, and that we have enough experience with them that we know we can send clients there and they won't embarrass us, and they'll do a solid job for our clients when we send them up there. So
good.
CPAs and attorneys.
And what's your reciprocity like?
Well, so far it hasn't been great. that we haven't gotten a lot of real high-end clients out of it, but kind of been resigned to the idea of as long as we can send folks there again and they won't embarrass us and they'll do a solid job for us, we've been happy with that. But obviously, we'd be open to getting some referrals back for sure.
And I think in both cases with our state attorney that we're referring the most and our CPA that we're referring the most, we're probably about 2 years in of sending referrals. And I would say within this last year, really, the degree of a good client for them that we're sending them has sort of stepped up as we started to work with the higher part of our book. So I think we're the responses we've been getting in the last, call it, 2 months have been much more gratuitous. You know, there's a lot more thanks coming our way than there were. So, again, Tom and I are relatively, new to this part of the world, and it's taken us a little bit of time to kind of navigate, who we trust in that space. And when we're sending clients that are, we've just recently started sending some bigger names as we've been working with bigger names. So, and in both cases, they're both relatively, young, sort of in the same stages of their careers as we are. So I think we feel pretty good about that.
Good. Think of it as building. I mean, I always tell people, say, how are some people successful at this, more successful than others? I say, well, the people that really do this well, I ask them, how long did it take you to build that relationship? They'll tell me, 10 years, 20 years. I'm like, really? And they say, yeah, but I don't have another 20 years, so if you can help me do it faster, I'm happy to.
Right.
The ones that do it really well, and you probably know people where they get a lot of business from their CPAs and attorneys and others. The answer is they're friends. Okay. So how long does it take to build a friendship? That's really what you're talking about. Well, first of all, it's gotta be somebody that you like, right? Somebody you like, you trust, and you respect. So that's where you got to start. And then it's a matter of doing things for them where you go out of your way to help or be nice or do something, and they do the same thing for you, and you gradually start to trust each other and you you build a real relationship. So, to me, you guys are young in the business. You can afford to do this. You make the investment now in 3 to 5 years, you could have all the introductions you ever wanted from a limited number of people because of the relationship you built, but you got to put work into it.
Right. We're on coming into our fourth year of doing, we started our sort of networking happy hour group with just CPAs and attorneys and HR folks. I don't know what happened there, but it's we're getting to that place now where we've really started. It's it's funny when you start getting invited to do like personal things with them. I think is when you start to notice you're kind of turning that corner. It's not just professional. It's you're get invited to go out to dinner with their spouses and, that kind of stuff. We're kind of getting to a place there in some respects. It's good. We feel good about that. But to your point, that's always been my thing with, talking to rookies. And, it takes a long time to establish that relationship and that credibility. You can't just build that in a one meeting or two conversation sort of thing. But this list is cool. What I like about this is like some of the other stuff, the car salesman, the nanny, the electrician, the plumber, it's pretty cool. Wedding planner. I mean, things that people, you know, we talk about wedding, you know, when we talk about financial goals and when people have kids and if they need to save money for that sort of thing. But it'd be neat to, you know, kind of seek these people out and go to our sort of existing COIs and say, oh, who do you use? It's another kind of thing to talk about. It's interesting from a networking perspective.
Right, right. And think about, I mean, just think, if you've got, you know, if you ask this question of 100 people and you start to get repeats, you know,
yeah.
Five people all say this is the best guy in the community, that's a big endorsement, right? This guy's world class. I don't care if he's taking care of a lawn or he's, you know,
right.
What he's doing. He's the best at it, and everybody should know that. If he, you know, and he can't do everybody, but for your clients, he's the guy. So you become kind of the Angie's List of professionals in your community. And people, you know, they kind of believe Angie's List and those other lists, but they don't trust them. If it comes from you, they really would trust it. And you vetted them. You know, you meet them. You get to know them. Maybe they become clients. So you never know, you know, somebody that's got a great business, I don't care what it is, it could be a plumber, it could be a great plumbing business, right? They make a lot of money if it's a good big plumber.
Yep.
So I'm glad you recognize that. Not too many people see the value in having a complete list. But just think now, somebody that moves into the community, you know, here's the part that's really important to understand. You don't want to give this list out. You want to save it for the right person. So let's say that you're the welcome wagon for a CEO of a company that's moving to town. And he or she is working. The spouse has got to do all this stuff. And it takes enormous amount of time and efforts and trouble and who do we go for this and that. You've got the list. And if that CEO or becomes highly recommended and you meet with them and they're a person you like and you think you could trust to not be a jerk with these people, because you can't put anybody into this, you can't give this list to anybody that's a jerk,
right?
Because you'll ruin it. You'll ruin it for everybody, because everybody's going to bend over backwards, not because they're a professional, but because they're on this list and they know it's valuable. So they will take care of anybody. So you don't want to put somebody in there that's going to be a jerk, you know, and complain about prices or do all this stuff that idiots do. So, you know, think through, and when you're convinced that this person, that this CEO is a good person, then you can give them the opportunity to use the list and just help. But I wouldn't even give them the list. I'd do all personal introductions.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's something you have in your back pocket if you're doing a good job listening and understanding what's going on in people's lives and what they may need. And you can say, oh, I know the person you need to call for a vet, you know?
Right.
I think, you know, I've always had a philosophy, the more you can be the wheel, you know, from a networking perspective, you know, the
that's
more
right.
valuable and credible you are.
You got it.
You know, that's always been an easy thing for me. So I kind of relish that. So, yeah, that's cool. I didn't think about keeping like the whole thing like this. That's good.
Yeah, it's just, it can be. Now you want to have, you know, you want the client to have theirs, and when
right.
they get dissatisfied with somebody, you want them to call you. Now you can
right.
always do, and I recommend, you know, where it's a big deal, do an in-person introduction, because you want to be part of that. But where it's, you know, something that's, that you, you know, you need some more efficiency, do a phone introduction. So number one is in person. Number two is phone. Number three is an email introduction. But don't ever just give them a name and a number. Always make an introduction. You always want to be the wheel, as you say. It's a good, really good way of thinking of it. So if the community can believe that you are a connector, you got it made. Because they're going to always think of you as part of that connection. Now, here's something that you want to take it to the next level, okay? What you want to do is think of these guys as kind of a large mastermind group, the best of the best in your community. So this time of year, maybe 6 months later, you invite them to get together, and you make sure they get to know each other. And just say, hey, this is kind of our, it's our group, you know, it's our kind of our mastermind group of the best in the community. We call it our enthusiastically endorsed list. All you're on here, invited here, because you're the number one person in the community most enthusiastically endorsed by your neighbors. So I think you all deserve a round of applause, and I'd just like to thank you. Enjoy yourself this evening. Have a adult beverage on us and an hors d'oeuvre, and just glad to have you as part of the organization. We think it's very valuable for all of us. I mean, that's a nice thing, right?
Yeah. I think it's awesome.
Okay, then you do that at, you know, there's some holiday celebration. You know, around this time of year, you guys tell me what the right venue is. I don't know, but you know, you might do it at the Nutcracker in the green room, or you might do it at the, you know, if there's a little cocktail party before the tree lighting or whatever it is. But this time of year is a great time of year to get people together. They like doing it. And then 6 months later, take them on a little river cruise or something, or out on a lake for a dinner cruise or something. And you kind of make it a big deal, but these guys can change your life, right? So, you know, twice a year, it's kind of a special group. And then we'll talk about, you know, leveraging that. Well, I mean, you guys, one of the things, I like the baseball analogy, because people say, well, you know, my firm makes me introduce three people every time we have to introduce somebody. I say, well, okay. You need three then, of three CPAs, three attorneys, three, you know, realtors, three commercial realtors, so forth. So that's a lot of people to see on a regular basis. So your CPA that you really want to build the relationship and want as a partner, that's the person that you meet monthly. You can do it any way you want. It was so funny. I was talking to a guy just in the last hour, and he said, you know, you told me to, you know, that to be more efficient on, you know, my monthly meeting with my CPA, to have to just go for a call at a Starbucks, right? Just go for a coffee. It takes a half an hour, doesn't wreck your day, and you still get the same advantage. He said, I go to lunch with this guy. I know you won't like that, but I go to lunch with him every month. I said, are you kidding me? I said, I love that. I said, I want you to be efficient, but most important, I want you to be effective.
Right.
Okay. If lunch works better for you two, God bless. Have lunch. If dinner works better, have dinner. Do whatever works. Okay. And if the guy is giving you introductions and he's a valuable partner, you know, keep doing it. You don't have to buy him dinner. You know that. You don't have to buy him lunch. You just go, right? You're partners. But the key is to go monthly and have a folder for him, and he has a folder. You give him a folder, you got your own folder, and you got an agenda. You meet, you educate each other, you talk, you share ideas. You talk about business opportunities together, seminars you could do, and things you might want to sponsor in the community together and stuff like that. The second guy you meet quarterly. Same thing, two folders. You meet quarterly, treat him like he's the star of the show. And then the third guy you meet semi-annually. Now, these are all in-person meetings. Okay? And because of what, if your first guy retires, you want the second guy up, you know, on deck, right? And the other guy,
yeah,
you want.
Sometimes you got personality matches too, you know.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes you don't, you know.
Right. You know, I like that idea. You know, we've been focusing on, you know, really like one attorney and one CPA, but, you know, we do have like sort of like, you know, who we'd call out of the bullpen, so to speak. You know, it's like the backup plan there in a couple of those cases. The other way that I look at it too is like community based, right? Like we live in a land of tiny kingdoms. So,
yeah.
You know, I have an attorney in, you know, that I would recommend for somebody that lives in like the Harrisburg area, somebody that lives in the York area.
Yep.
You know, it allows me to kind of do the same thing you're saying, but in, you know, I don't think of the world is that small, but, you know, our clients do in some cases. So it allows me to kind of be in a couple places at once. So I like the idea of trying to make that a regularly scheduled thing outside of the other normal stuff we run into each other at. So,
right. So you
good.
Take the folder, you make up the folder, and then you put these guys in your scheduler separate from them being clients. A lot of times they'll be clients. That's a separate thing. So
right.
You want to have these meetings separate, but you want them on your scheduler. And you want your assistant scheduling them with an agenda just like they're a client meeting. But it's not. And you'll turn this from a casual, you know, haphazard sort of process into something that's really good and very professional. They'll like it because they don't know how to do this.
Right. Yeah. Okay. It's good.
And you guys control it. So.
That's the key.
Now that's
right?
Good. That's the key. Key is to control it. Control the introduction. Control everything. You know, you get, how many name, right? They say, I called, I got a guy for you. You go, yeah, I gave him your phone number. He's going to call you. Right, right.
Yeah.
Right?
That very rarely happens. You know, people give your name out a lot. But, I've always said, well, you know, it would make, you know, I'll share that. Like, hey, I was going to give him your number. And I'll say, well, you know, my experience, you know, that happens. People put it in the drawer. They never get around to it. Let's find a time to, like, get an introduction or ask if it's okay if I give them a call at a certain time or whatever it may be.
Right. So then you're working hard. And here's the way to suggest it, okay? It says, I've got a guy for you, right? And you say, okay, how would you suggest that we meet?
Yeah. There you go.
There you go. See? Changes the whole game, right?
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean? How would you suggest that we meet? I mean, you're not doing them any favor unless we meet.
Right.
Right? You're not doing this because, you know, you're doing this because they need whatever it is that we're going to offer.
Right.
So let's, you know, it might not, and I always say, you know, it may not be a good fit for either of us. But we should meet.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And you don't know until you know. You know, I was given a referral 2 weeks ago from a pretty good client. And it was one of his peers at work. And he, you know, his conversation to me was, you know, I'm pretty sure she's in the same kind of place as me, has a little over $1 million investable assets, so on and so forth. So, like, you know, she's in a different state. So we have a call. And, you know, half hour into the call, I realized that that's not the case, you know.
Right.
But again, I got to give that opportunity because the client, you know, but again, so I asked you earlier how you thought, but I don't want to out her, his peer either. You know, it's one of those weird things.
No, you did great. That's the way to do it. You got to vet them, and you got to go through the whole thing, and that's just the cost of doing business. It's a lot better than cold calling.
Right. And I at one point then did say, you know, our average client, you know, has $1 million with us. You know, we have, you know, I layered some things in there to kind of make the point that, you know, this is like who we work with versus, you know, just kind of going along with it. So anyhow.
Yeah, that's good.
I think we've taken up about 6 minutes extra of your time.
Well, you're terrific, guys. I like your energy. I like the enthusiasm. You know, this is just one idea, right? Centers of Influence and the enthusiastically endorsed list. You seem to grab right onto it. You're smart. You get it. You know, just put that same energy into the other ideas and you can't do everything, but you've got a good open mind and minds, and you're pretty eager to learn. I like it. I'm excited to help you and coach you. So here's what you can do with me. Do as much. All right. So we have a nice practice here, right? We had a good practice. Now take it out to the field and use it. Okay?
Use it.
Okay? Take and use this idea. Use it this week.
Yep.
And put it to work, and then come back and tell me. We'll look at the game films, right? And figure out what went right, what went wrong, and how I can help you. You don't use the stuff, I can't help you.
Right.
So don't wait. Use it right away. As soon as you learn it, go and use it. And then put it to work.
Okay. We'll talk about it next week.
Okay. Yeah, talk about it next week. Way to go. Nice job.
Yep.
Talk next week.
Thanks. See you, Rob.
All right.
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
Bye.